Kent Online News.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.
Lucy Hickmott.
It's Wednesday, the 30th of October. Coming up, man sentenced for murdering wife 20 years ago.
There are three children who lost their mother when they were very young. And those three grown-up children now are losing their father, being incarcerated for the murder of their mother.
Campaigners angry about grammar school expansion.
We don't need a grammar school. We just need to build a good school that has facilities for every child and doesn't discriminate against the 75% who don't pass a test.
And celebrity Guy unveiled for Edenbridge Bonfire.
It was decided that John Bercow would be the best one to select because we could really sort of create the divide that we have in our country at the moment.
Kent Online News.
A man's been jailed for life after being found guilty of murdering his wife, who disappeared from their home near Deal more than 20 years ago. Ish has the details.
Debbie Griggs was pregnant with her fourth child when she went missing from Walmer in 1999. Her body's never been found. Her husband Andrew, who's now 57 and lives in St Leonard's in Dorset, always denied having anything to do with her disappearance. He's been told he'll serve a minimum of 20 years behind bars. Detective Superintendent Paul Fotheringham was part of the investigation.
Debbie was reported missing by her husband Andrew, and it took about 2 weeks for the case then to be referred because there were suspicions at the time that Debbie had then potentially been murdered, and an investigation started by the major crime team. He was arrested right at the start and actually was interviewed a number of times over a four-year period. It was a huge investigation for us to try and find Debbie but also find out how she died. And whether it was at the hands of somebody else, and we believe it was Andrew. So in 2003, the case was put before a senior lawyer who made a decision that there was insufficient evidence for us to prosecute. The case then goes into a regular review process. We never close a cold case, and my cold case team then carry out regular reviews of a number of cases, and this one in particular, in the start of 2018, we carried out a review and a scoping exercise, which included rechecks around whether Debbie's potentially got bank accounts or she's opened up different accounts or contacted the health services, and she hadn't. So we presented that again back to the CPS to say, in today's context, 20 years later, it's our belief that there is a case against Andrew, and CPS are really supportive of us and put the case to a very senior lawyer, a QC, to review the case, who agreed that there was a case to answer a court. I think there were inconsistencies in his accounts at the time. I think the most important thing is that Debbie was a mum of three children and she was pregnant. She was making plans for the following days with friends. There was, even though their relationship I don't think was fantastic, there was no reason for her to go off on her own, or no reason for her to harm herself. So to me, there's no other reason other than that she's been harmed by somebody, and there's no other reason that I can possibly think of. And if that's the case, then it follows that the only person that could have done that would be Andrew, and because to think it would be fanciful to think that she's been harmed or injured by somebody else in a random attack. There's no other evidence that points towards that at all. It must have been Andrew. But with the checks that we've carried out, she's not alive. I mean, even Andrew himself actually went to court to get it agreed in law that she's dead in 2007. So again, it's a number of little things really that have all added together like a big jigsaw piece. But the key thing is that how else could she have gone missing? And if you think that she's, because if she's done something to herself, then we'd have found her. If something had happened to her that wasn't planned, then we would have found her. So if you think that she's been killed at the hands of another, then the only person that could have done that, in my view, is Andrew. I'm delighted for Debbie's family that the jury have agreed that Andrew has killed Debbie. It's taken 20 years for us to get to this position, during that time they don't know. Nobody's been able to tell them what's happened. Nobody's been able to tell them how it's happened, I hope they get some peace that Andrew's now been convicted.
Sarah Dinley is from the CPS South East.
So this case was first referred to the Crown Prosecution Service for charging advice back in 1999 and again in 2003. On both occasions, it was decided that there was insufficient evidence to charge Andrew Griggs with murder. The passage of time has shown that there is no trace of Debbie Griggs. She hasn't used bank accounts. She hasn't accessed any medical attention. She hasn't claimed benefits. She hasn't filed a tax return or paid tax anywhere. Also, during the past 20 years, we have gained confidence through case law, which has been decided during this period, which has allowed us to use evidence which in the past we would not have been able to use or would not have been confident that we could use it in court. So this is a woman who was pregnant with her fourth child. She had three young sons. She was, by all accounts, a devoted mother with a very strong maternal instinct. She took her son to school every day. She was very active in local mother and baby groups. And in fact, the day after she went missing, she had been due to meet up with friends and had plans later in the week to attend a body shop party. She was a woman who, if she said she was going to turn up somewhere, she did. So it was highly unusual for her not to keep those appointments. She also had regular midwife and hospital appointments, and she failed to keep those after her disappearance. She'd had previous difficulties in her pregnancies. So we would say it's inconceivable that she wouldn't have kept those medical appointments. This isn't a smoking gun case by any means. It is very much a case which is built like a jigsaw puzzle. Piece of the pieces which all fit together and paint a picture of guilt. And that's what we say in this case, that there are inconsistencies in his account. There is overwhelming evidence that it would have been highly unusual for her to have disappeared in the way as she did. The fact that there is no trace of her over a 20-year period, and the fact that there may be reasons in their relationship why he would want her dead. This is a case which, after 20 years, has led to the conviction of Andrew Griggs. It's an upsetting case on many levels. There are three children who lost their mother when they were very young, and those three grown-up children now are losing their father, being incarcerated for the murder of their mother. A man who has lied to them over a 20-year period about what has happened to their mother.
Kent Online reports.
Kent MPs are getting ready to fight for their seats in the third general election in less than 5 years. It's looking like we'll go to the polls on the 12th of December, just 13 days before Christmas. Last night, the House of Commons passed the Prime Minister's bill, which called for an election to solve the Brexit deadlock. It'll be the first one to be held in December in the UK for almost 100 years. Meantime, after 2 days, Operation Brock has now been deactivated on the M20. You'll now no longer have to use the contraflow between junctions 8 for Maidstone and 9 for Ashford, which is designed to ease congestion if Brexit causes cross-channel travel delays. Cones have been removed from the coastbound stretch after an extension was agreed by the UK and EU on Monday.
Kent Online News.
The Commons has been told how people living in a Kent town are often experiencing waste water flowing into the streets and onto their property. Tunbridge Wells MP Greg Clark's held a debate blaming Southern Water's failure to upgrade Paddock Wood sewerage system. That's despite the town being earmarked for an extra 1,000 homes. The company was fined £126 million earlier this year for serious failures in its sewage treatment sites. This is what Greg Clark had to say about it.
Many of us, to be frank, I say to the Minister, have come to lose patience with the role of Southern Water, the principal provider of those services in my constituency. Now, because this is a short debate, I want to use the example of the town of Paddock Wood, but it applies almost identically to other parts of my constituency, with particular concerns in the parishes of Hawkhurst, Capel, and in the towns of Tunbridge Wells and Southborough, but many other villages as well. The capacity of the sewage and draining network that serves Paddockwood is inadequate for the current population of a little over 3,250 households. The town of Paddockwood is situated in a low-lying area quite close to the River Medway and frequently floods. When it does, the overload of the current network has unacceptable, unhealthy and frankly disgusting consequences for residents. One of my constituents, who lives in an estate near the centre of the town, described how for 10 years her front garden has been regularly flooded with water containing sewage, toilet paper and other waste coming up from a manhole cover in the middle of the road outside her property. A resident in a different part of town described how he and his neighbours have submitted complaints time and again about, once again, sewage and toilet paper washed out into their road. The Paddockwood Town Council and the local borough and county councillors, to whom I pay tribute for their tenacity over the years, have pressed and highlighted the problem, demanding that it's addressed and warning of the obvious need for investment in greater capacity. Southern Water themselves have admitted that the infrastructure needs upgrading before any additional demands on it can be contemplated. Paddockwood is now subject to plans for at least an additional 1,000 homes across three major developments on top of the 3,250 homes, approximately, that are already there. Residents of Paddockwood now see development happening that they were assured would only take place when the sewerage system had been upgraded to deal with the current overuse and the current problems that they're facing, and to remove the worsening of that situation, let alone to cope with the development that is planned. Now, I met with Southern Water and members of Paddockwood Town Council and officers and members of Tunbridge Wells Borough Council and Kent County Council on the 7th of September. All these local representatives were dismayed to discover that the previous plans were not even going to be proceeded with, and that the company had gone back to the drawing board, in effect, to consider what could be done about the capacity in Paddockwood. In the meantime, new homes are being built and connected to a sewerage system that is already so inadequate that it results in sewage flowing through the streets and the flooding of existing properties. Enough is enough. The people of Paddockwood are not NIMBYs opposing all development. Quite the opposite, in fact. The town has, without fuss, accommodated more new development compared to its size than most other towns in the southeast of England. It is perfectly reasonable to demand that in doing so, residents should not be taken for granted and taken for a ride.
Kent Online reports.
A fire that broke out at a derelict commercial building in Ashford is being treated as suspicious. Dozens of firefighters were needed to tackle the flames at the Kent Waller Growers site on Tannery Lane on Monday afternoon. A Herne Bay woman's been found guilty of luring a man into her home so her boyfriend could rob him at knife point. The 32-year-old tricked the victim into going back to her flat before her 40-year-old partner, who admitted the charges, threatened him with the weapon and locked him inside. They later stole a TV, phone and games console from the victim's home. They're both due to be sentenced for robbery and false imprisonment in December. 72 female MPs, including two from Kent, have declared their solidarity with the Duchess of Sussex, saying she's having to deal with distasteful and misleading stories about her. Canterbury's Rosie Duffield and Chatham and Aylesford's Tracy Crouch have signed an open letter saying certain articles are outdated and an invasion of her privacy.
Kent Online News.
Campaigners are angry plans to build a new grammar school annex in Kent have taken a step forward. Bosses want to expand the boys' school in Tunbridge Wells by creating a new site 15 miles away in Sevenoaks. A public consultation's now underway, so you can have your say on the idea. But Joanne Bartley from Comprehensive Future says the new building isn't necessary.
We're really surprised that Kent County Council wants to persist with this selective school system when the rest of the country manages perfectly fine without it. So they seem to think that they need to create one in four grammar school places for children, when in fact they don't need to do this at all. They've just been doing this plan for schooling every year since 1950s. So really, it's kind of like the idea that they have to have a grammar school there is just just nonsense.
And so just in terms of the numbers of people actually needing to go into grammar schools, do we particularly struggle with you know, actual numbers in West Kent, and so this annex is actually in some ways needed?
Well, it depends on your definition of need, because Kent County Council say that 25% of children need a grammar school place. But actually, you know, a lot of parents whose children pass the Kent test decide they don't want a grammar school at all. They could choose a school that has grammar sets and streams and has a really good provision for those kind of high attaining kids without need to have a test for entry. So if Kent County Council had some conviction, it would actually say these schools work, we don't need a grammar school, we just need to build a good school that has facilities for every child and doesn't discriminate against the 75% who don't pass a test.
And of course, in terms of the location as well, Tunbridge Wells is where the main site is, but of course they want to put the annex in Sevenoaks, which is a good 12 miles away. What do you make of that kind of distance as well?
Well, I mean, you wouldn't see a normal school expanding with a whole school-sized building in another town. So, I mean, this is very clearly a way to get around the law. They have to call it the fact that it's one school, it's an annex or a satellite or whatever you want to call it. But, you know, legally, you're not allowed to build a grammar school in another town. So they're kind of like, it's really duplicitous. It's like dodging the law. And, you know, this is our council doing this. It's like, you know, do they not care about the law? Do they not understand that a new grammar school is not allowed? So it's very legally dubious. And much as parents might want a grammar school there, I would rather Kent County Council spent £90 million telling people that you don't need a grammar school than actually building one. Because, you know, parents around the country manage with a school system that doesn't have a test and that works.
And so just finally, you just touched on a bit about there, the kind of, not bending the rules, but kind of weaving our way around it. What do you kind of make of that loophole and the fact that schools are able to exploit that?
I think it's very, very... It's just wrong. It's like, you know, there's a rule and everyone can see that this is a new school. The children going there will feel like it's a new school. And you know, I think people should care about that. This is law. This is democracy. It's like no one's checking this. The reason there is a law against new grammar schools is because they're unnecessary. They don't accept many poorer children. So there's lots of good reasons not to have grammar schools, and to avoid the law is to avoid all these good reasons that have been debated in Parliament.
If the annex in Sevenoaks is approved, it'll open in September 2021 with space for 90 students. Education expert Peter Reid says those places are desperately needed.
The idea of an annex was first drawn up around 2012, 7 years ago, so it's taking a long time for completion. There is a need for grammar school places, let's be absolutely clear, in West Kent, which stretches from Tunbridge Wells in the far south up to Swanley Hextable in the north. So children in the far north, if they want to go to grammar school, they're not eligible for the super selective schools. Tunbridge Wells is where they're heading. That's 22 miles. That's a round journey of something like 3 hours. Yes, it's needed, but a deficit of 242 boys and girls by 2022 says something's got to be done. If Kent, which is a selective authority, is to offer grammar school places to all local children who pass the 11 plus, and that's the key.
So for you, you might probably think these plans must be quite positive then, in order to bring more grammar school children in.
Yes, I think this particular proposition makes total sense, because the particular shortage is with boys' grammar school places. There is a girls' annex on the same site already. There is planning permission for a boys' annex, which has been there for about 4 years. No, this is a plan coming to fruition. And it's needed, make no mistake about it.
So
if this does not go through, then in 2022 there'll be grammar school qualified boys not able to access a grammar school in Kent.
You've got until the 6th of December to have a say on the plans.
Kent Online reports.
Police want to speak to the victim of a potential mugging in Margate after she failed to report it. She was approached by a man and woman who demanded money on the high street yesterday morning. Officers think they've identified the suspects from CCTV, but they want to hear from the victim, who hasn't come forward. A 27-year-old man's been arrested after a motorcycle motorhome was stolen from a property in Malling. It was taken from Maidstone Road in Borough Green on Monday night, and detectives are still trying to find it. An investigation's underway after more than 30 vehicles were damaged in Margate, Westgate and Birchington. Windscreens and windows were smashed on Monday night and the following morning. The Speaker of the House of Commons, John Bercow, has been revealed as the celebrity guy on this year's Edenbridge bonfire. The 11-metre-high effigy will be burned at their celebrations on Saturday, along with one of Guy Fawkes. But it's needed a bit of patching up after the head fell off. Harry's been along to the official unveiling.
My name is Andrea Deans and I'm an artist for the Edenbridge Bonfire Society.
John Bercow, as you can kind of tell, imagine shouting order up there. He's become a bit of a character in himself, a bit of a kind of a cartoon in a way, and that seems to have been sort of portrayed in this.
Well, he's supposed to be independent and have an independent views, but it seemed to be that he's pulling on all the strings, and I guess seeing Boris and Jeremy under his arms portray the fact that he's actually manipulating everyone in a parliament, so I think that's a fitting caricature.
And as well, obviously, for the first time ever, had some issues with his head coming off.
We've been doing this for over 20 years. Not me personally, but the Bonfire Society has been. And this is the first time, unfortunately, that this happened. I think the wind doesn't help. And the soft ground doesn't help. So, but do you know what? It makes it interesting, makes it different, and I think it's meant to be.
It's probably quite a nice symbol for what's going on up in Westminster.
I think so too, because it's all going pretty wrong at the moment. So I think this probably was meant to happen.
And I suppose at the end of the day, whether the head stays on or not, they all end up the same way.
Yeah, it's all going to be burned, so it really doesn't matter. And to be honest, I wish we could burn him now.
And tell me a bit about some of the work that you yourself has put in. You know, how much hard work has it taken to get to where it is now? Although I imagine you probably want to see it with the face fully on rather than half.
Yeah, well, we make the decision together as a society, and then we talk about what elements we should incorporate in the design, and then I go home and design it myself at home, and then we take it from there. I do it here in this barn, and I have some helpers to do the steel work and structural work, so it's not only me, it's a lot of other Bonfire Society members who help, and it takes us 5 days.
My name is Laura Lawrence and I am part of the Edenbridge Bonfire Society.
So I guess first off, why John Bercow?
Well, he was chosen by members of the public, and then he was a close tie between him and Piers Morgan. But then in the meeting last week, it was decided that John Bercow would be the best one to select, because we could really sort of create the divide that we have in our country at the moment by creating his effigy for our events on Saturday night.
Of course, he's not on his own. He's been flanked by Boris Johnson and Jeremy Corbyn as well. All three of them have, as you say, very much been in the spotlight the last few months.
That's right, yes. And as you can see, he does have Johnson and Corbyn in a headlock. And, you know, the country's been in a headlock for so long now. So it's a great sort of, reason why we could do that.
And obviously all of this is for a good cause as well, regardless of what it looks like at the moment. It's all about raising money.
It is, right. We like to do the celebrity effigy. It does put the spotlight on our town. It's covered internationally who we decide to create as our effigy every year, which obviously attracts more people to our event on Saturday, so we can then raise more money for the local organisations and charities that are out there in our community.
And all three of them, all very opinionated politicians. What do you think their opinion would be on the effigy that you've created?
I think they would say that Andrea's done a fantastic job with capturing their likeness, and she might even get a job as a professional caricaturist at the Houses of Parliament.
You can see pictures and video of the effigy at kentonline.co.uk. And finally today, Disney movie crews have been spotted filming on the Kent coast. Camera teams were seen at work in Reculver near Herne Bay yesterday afternoon. It's thought it could be part of the new live-action remake of The Little Mermaid. That's it for now, but for more news throughout the day, you can head to kentonline.co.uk.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.